Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to our Veterans Day Salute program. George Norrie with you, Danian Brinkley, a Marine with us, of course. And Danian, so you made a pledge to your mother to watch over your father.
Yeah, and so that's how I got into this. And my dad, he could understand. He was a disabled veteran from World War II. And I discovered the AIDS wing. You know, this is like 1984. And it was the saddest place I'd ever been, George.
Oh, my gosh.
I couldn't believe it. And, you know, then that was, you know, when everybody thought if you were within 100 miles of it, you could get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just found that place where that kind of depression, no matter how or whatever it was, and the isolation and people putting in old suits on and like it's hazmat. And it breaks that connection between human beings. And I just found a calling. And I know a lot about death and dying. So having a viewpoint of what's next, I could take a really good look at what happens in the course of serving and then what happens when the VA and the government agencies are supposed to take care of the veteran. So I'm a member of every organization. Every caregiver organization, all the programs at the VA, and I listen to the information, and then I have contacts in 22 VAs, people who are Twilight Brigaders who trained or took my program, which now became the NoVet Die Alone program, and that was all created by a group of us, and so I can call those people and I can ask them specific questions based on implementation of stuff as I read the legislature. And then I still do vigils. I mean, I did one three. Let me say something really strange. And because I pay so much attention to palliative and end of life care, this is my world. And why I focus on it is there's so many of us in our generation that the way life is going and the amount of stress that's being created and the shifting of consciousness that's being created before our very eyes, that kind of stress and what it's going to build up into, the medical paradigm has to be paid attention to. So knowing that, then I look at palliative and end-of-life care as a specialty. It means I can also look back, George, all the way through the system and see the flaws. You know, I can see the flaws. And when I looked at AIDS patients and what happens, it was just a point that I had to somehow get their family or their friends past whatever issues they had so that that person could have closure and hurt in fighting and defending this country. There was a place greater than any of their personal choices they made. They made a personal choice to protect me as a veteran, our people who served, and that was good enough for me. And so that's what led me into doing this.
Danian, back in the 60s and the early 70s, of course, the protesters protesting the Vietnam War. And as I look back now, protesting the war was fine. They had a right 100%. To do that. But what 100%. They forgot to do in that era is protect the troops. They instead, they blamed the troops for Vietnam. They ratted down on the troops rather than, you know, give us pride with the troops. If you want to be opposed to war, that's fine. But don't attack the troops in doing it. And that's the mistake I think the protesters made during that era.
Well, I think that was an American mistake, but it was all strategy. You know, all of that stuff was strategy. The far left, that was the biggest protesters that spit on them and all of that, they had a knowledge of how the war was being run. You know, they had a knowledge about it. And that radicalness was just enough for people to pay attention to that they were caught. Okay, but guys coming back, a lot of people got upset about it. A lot of guys are traumatized for it now. And you and I both know that because we know people in that age group. We both know that it is, and it's subtle, but it's there. You were just doing your job.
That's right.
Were doing that, and you believe you know. Everybody knew they weren't protecting America from the from the red tide. You know, it had to be some business, and all of us knew that. It had to be some business angle because it was so stupid how it was run and how it operated. So that created the psychology where it not only depressed the Vietnam-era person, not only depressed them, it created anxiety, okay? And that's what we're dealing with when we watch probably 50 million people go through, well, not there's 50 million people in the age group, but so there would probably be 12 to 13 million of us that are going through those periods right now.
And look how fast Saigon fell as soon as we got out of there. It was almost overnight, wasn't it?
Yeah, it fell in a day. Look at Kabul.
Same thing.
It fell in a day, okay? Well, when you stop and you look at that, and just like we were saying earlier, that they left American soldiers' families, and they did that, okay? And who knows if that's true or not, but you hear it. Then there is a rumbling occurring. There's a rumbling occurring. And then there are those, and it's just how they deal with it. I mean, I've seen everybody deal with it from anger to dejection to depression to PTSD, you know. And I watch this stuff all the time.
And, well, and what I always have said too, Danyon, is when we found out that Osama bin Laden was hiding in Tora Bora in that mountain region, we should have just leveled that mountain region, just taken it all out, the whole mountain, and we wouldn't even have had to have sent any troops.
Well, I would have voted for that myself. That would they, but we didn't have the daisy cutter then. I mean, we'd have to bomb it for like 4 days.
Not if you use one nuke.
Well, I don't know about that, George.
Well, look what they did to us.
Well, I understand, but a nuclear weapon sets off a whole different psychology.
It's just a mountain. It's just a mountain. Tell us about the Twilight Brigade. How did that start?
Okay, the Twilight Brigade started when I had to have brain surgery. And what I did was the first two times that I had gone through being struck by lightning and open-heart surgery and these near-death experiences, there was a place in it, George, that I thought was just a passenger place where you looked at the separation between the world you were leaving and then the tunnel and then down the tunnel and then into the life review. But the third time it was brain surgery, and I told you this before, I was outside of my body, but I wasn't floating above it. I was watching it from that point, and when I went to the transitional place, the place I think that you separate, mm-hmm. I realized that it was a level of consciousness in itself. And there were so many people trapped, and they were trapped out by choice, and there were so many veterans, because I could tell by uniforms, that these people had been so dejected that they couldn't let go. And so I said, all right, then when I came back after brain surgery, you know, here we go again. And I spent 41 hours in recovery because I kept studying this place I call the blue-gray place. And I saw that if I could create a program that would help ease some of the crisis of what I felt over there, then I could not only send a veteran, I could send them knowing that their life had value and knowing that they had closure and the five steps by which you create closure. Then as that person passed from through the veil or through the tunnel, another veteran or another person dealing with that could see or feel that light, and he would let go of this level that he was holding on to, and he would go. Because there are people who are alcoholics and are drug addicts, and they want to get back over here. And I never saw that place the first two times, and then I've seen it the third time. And then I saw it 3 years ago, the fourth time. So what got me to create the Twilight Brigade was realizing that people lose a certain part when they feel betrayed. or they have free will until that tunnel business occurs, and they're dealing, working through those issues, a lot like what the Tibetans call bardos, and what the Catholics, until they settled with the Lutherans in 2013, purgatory.
Ah, yes, know it well. What has been for you the most emotional aspect of working with vets that you can recall?
Because just like you were talking about, George, so many people lived after wars and saw what the world was. A world war gives you the chance to see what the world war was and what happened after it. And you hear political sides of views, and you hear opinions about it. And I've been with thousands of veterans, and, you know, in groups and organizations, and listening to their viewpoints of American history. But the most important thing was that I could help them. I understand how you look at the VA. I spent 37 years in the VA, and I am a very focused person. You know, I'm paying attention to how it works and what it does and when it does it and where the flaws are and what's the overall picture of what's being occurred. Because I can tell you this, George, this system that's being created now, this veteran healthcare system, okay, it has a bigger future after we're gone, after we, Vietnam, the 13 million of us, then it'll have a different platform. It will have a different structure and reality.
So true, my friend.
And so being a part of watching all of that and being a part of being able to help them has been the most rewarding. And I've always looked at it from the standpoint is I'm fighting for me. Everybody's me. In my age group and in just before me and just a few in front of me that served in that period, Korea and that period, they're all me. And so I can look at it from being Danion Brinkley, former Marine, and then I can look at it from being Danion Brinkley, the dead guy, and then I can look at it from how those systems cohesively work together to give that safe, fulfilling method by which you go from this world to the next one. You know, that is the place. And I have a targeted audience, George. God gave me a bunch of me's. and I have a targeted audience that the union and unity between military people from that period, because of how we were treated, bonded us. And we know crazies, and we know sane people, and we know people who are living in denial but went off and made themselves prominent. So by looking at it from that point of view, I take great pride in three basic programs that the VA didn't have, and I worked diligently to put these programs in play. And one is the integrative therapies, which is now whole health. And everybody who's listening and every caregiver who's listening, you need to call the VA and you need to get into the whole health program. Just get in the whole health program and tell them you're looking for mindfulness. Okay? And everybody, if it's a veteran, that's what you do. That moves your claims forward. And this whole health program, George, is a remarkable program that people are using yoga, which when we started it, we couldn't say yoga, but now we can say yoga. Stretching, Tai Chi, all of these things are improving the lives of people. They can do it at home. One thing about COVID created a way that you can almost make personal interaction with people.
That's the only good thing that came out of COVID. Is our interaction with people, either by Zoom or phones or whatever we do.
Yeah, Skype or Microsoft. I mean, I do the Novet Die Alone program in two VAs.
Good for you.
Because I know everything that's going on, George. If I listen to the programs and I participate, and I have done it for 40 years, so I can see things that people need and how to perfect the nature of transition. So I listen, and I'd like to say this. There's a guy in Atlanta, and his name is Curtis Williams. He's a reverend in the chaplain program. George, this is someone who, through COVID and through everything, I have seen him use the NoVet Die Alone program and to build it and to support it in ways that makes me very, very proud.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.